This started back in Genesis 1, and we can see it playing out, and the connections that are there between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the stories and how God's design and God's plan just keeps occurring, and how all of those things are interchanged and are related to one another. As a child, and I actually, we experienced this morning as well, you have to make a choice sometimes for things. And sometimes it has to do with cookies. I was holding my daughter this morning, and I asked her, which one do you want? And she just was like, wow. And I heard somebody behind us say, wow, that's a lot of cookies. And there was all of these choices up there. As a kid, I remember we would go to McDonald's. And the screen would be up there, and there would be choices. Now, as a little kid, you got usually one choice. Would you like a hamburger or a cheeseburger? That was kind of your choice. Do you want it with cheese or without cheese? And maybe do you just want it with some ketchup and not the pickles and onion? And you know, but there was a choice. As you got older, that list expanded. And then as a kid, I would just stand there. And I'd look up at the screen, and I couldn't make a decision. I couldn't choose. I didn't know which one I wanted. Because my parents said, well, you can have whatever you want off the menu. Oh, well, I like hamburgers. I like nuggets. I like chicken sandwiches. What do I do? I can't have everything. I knew I couldn't have it all. So finally, I would hear a voice, just pick one. Just pick one. Because I'd be there, and I had been taking, 10 minutes standing there trying to decide. There's people behind us waiting. Just pick one. The nation of Israel, we talked couple weeks about Moses and what God did through Moses' life, how God used Moses, even though he made bad decisions. But Moses was traveling with the nation of Israel. He traveled around the desert with them for 40 years, and they had a hard time making decisions sometimes. They didn't just want to worship God. They wanted to worship little g gods. All of the people around them also worshiped gods, and they wanted to worship all their gods as well. And so they were like a little kid standing there going, oh, I just want to worship them all. And they're like, just pick one, God is saying to them. And so in Joshua chapter 24, we've gone through Joshua's time of helping lead the nation into this new country and take over this new country. And Joshua is going to challenge the nation of Israel with some specific things. He's going to tell them they need to just pick one. The Bible tells us about Joshua, that Joshua was a man that followed after God. In Exodus chapter 17, we learn that Joshua was a warrior. When Moses started traveling out with the people, he sent Joshua as a warrior to battle. Joshua was there when Moses went up on the mountaintop. Joshua was standing down on the mountain, and he was able to experience that. He would have been the first one that Moses would have come down and talked to. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 33 that Moses went into the tabernacle, the tent where he would meet with God, and then he would go out and talk to the people. And the Bible just has this little phrase, and it says, but Joshua stayed in the tent. Exodus chapter 33. And Joshua stayed in the tent because he wanted to keep experiencing God. He wanted that closeness with God. He wanted to have that communication with God, and Joshua was right there. We learn that Joshua succeeded Moses, and so he becomes the leader then of these people. And we go through the book of Joshua, and that is the story of how God provides and helps his people take over this land that he's giving to them. And at the end of the book here, Joshua is going to challenge them. We're going to read Joshua chapter 24. We're going to start in verses 14 and continue on from there. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a great decision that we need to make in life. There's a great decision we need to make, and the greatest decision I can make requires that I make a choice. The greatest decision I can make requires that I make a choice. Joshua tells the nation here, he's addressing all of the people, and he says, you need to make a choice. You need to choose this day. And there's a definition that I came across that said, a God is what we sacrifice for and what we pursue. A God is what we sacrifice for and what we pursue. And Joshua is saying here, you have a choice to make. There are the gods that you served while you were in Egypt. There are the gods that around us that people are serving, of the Amorites, the Bible says. Or there is the one true God, and you need to make a choice about who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of this world, little g gods? Or are you going to serve the one true, holy, pure God? Do we have other things? I gave the definition as a God is something we sacrifice for and pursue. Do we have other things in our life today that we make sacrifices for and pursue? The answer is yes, we do. We have other things in our lives that distract us sometimes from our true focus and what we really should be focused on. And there are things such as music that people focus on. There are things such as sports that people focus on. Money, just raising as much money as they can or making as much money as they can. Some people focus on fashion. Some people focus on saving animals. Some people focus on serving others. There are addictions that pull our focus away. Some people focus on learning, and that's all they ever do in their life is they keep racking up bills constantly. Their debt never goes away because they're constantly learning. But their focus is knowledge. Some of these things aren't bad. I mentioned serving others. It's not a bad thing to serve others. But if that is your true focus, then your perspective is off. Joshua is saying you need to make a choice. You need to decide what is going to be your main focus. We have a lot of choices we can make in life. You walk into somebody's house, sometimes they ask, would you like coffee or would you like tea? You walk into a restaurant and they say, would you like coffee, tea, water, milk, juice, Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite? You know, we have choices. Lots of choices that we can make. Coke or Pepsi? That's a choice that we have to make. Chocolate or vanilla? Some of you say swirl. Because you can't make a choice. You can't choose just one. We have to make a choice in this world. But some choices are harder than others. Serving yourself or serving others. Sometimes we have to make this choice. When we were getting ready to take possession of our house, the guy who was in it actually, he hadn't quite moved everything out yet. And we went in and we saw all of his belongings still there because he'd given us keys and stuff. And we're like, okay. So we called the realtor and he came over that day and we talked to him and he said, yeah, he said, I need to get my stuff out. I was like, okay, not a big deal. But then I told my mom, I said, you know, maybe we should go help him. And I said, the hard part for me in that was, it's kind of a selfish thing. But it's also kind of wanting to help serve. And so there was both of those there. Like, I was serving myself because I kind of wanted him to get his stuff out of the house. But at the same time, I was also trying to help him and serve him. And so sometimes there's conflict in those things. The next one, what about following God's design versus following the world's ideas? Sometimes there's this conflict in what we're supposed to be doing. Do we follow what the world tells us to do? Do we follow what our sinful nature tells us to do? Or do we follow what God tells us to do in His Word, in His Scripture? We can choose who we're going to serve. We choose who we're going to serve. We choose if we're going to serve things of this world or if we're going to choose to serve God. We can choose if we're going to know God or we can choose if we're going to ignore God. We make a choice. Are we going to know God, or are we going to ignore God? Let's continue on in our scripture. Joshua is given this challenge to the people that they need to make a choice. It was the biggest decision that they could possibly make. And Joshua said, he's already made this choice. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 16. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. They say, we need to see things clearly. If you're going to make the greatest choice you're ever going to make in your life, you need to see things clearly. They look back on their time. This is Memorial Weekend. We look back and think about some of the sacrifices that people have made on our behalf. And they looked back and they said, we saw how God brought us through. There was a lot of sacrifices because they fought battles, and sometimes they didn't always win those battles the first time. And so they would lose people along the way of their journey through trying to take over this country. And they looked back, but they saw the common thread throughout. They saw that God had provided, that God was always there, that God was helping them as they traveled through the land. And so they began to see things clearly. They began to see things clearly. They looked back. They remembered what God had done for them. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Which would you rather experience? Pain or joy? Which would you rather experience? Anger or happiness? Love or hate? Punishment or enjoyment? Laughter or tears? Being kind or having someone be kind to you, or having someone be mean to you, or being mean to someone else? Being relaxed or being stressed? There's a lot of laughter there because a lot of times we're stressed. Following God's design, seeing things clearly, you begin to understand that all of those things, like when I get up in the, not used to having it there, when I get up in the morning, I don't say, I want to be stressed all day. I don't get up and say, well, I'm going to be mean to people today. I don't get up and say, well, boy, I sure would like to cry some today. That's not how I wake up. That's not the emotions. We want to experience the best. But oftentimes, that's not how we focus. That's not where our mind goes. And throughout the day, we get distracted. We lose our focus. We don't think about how we really would like to be. When we look at this list, we go, well, yeah, the choice is easy. I can make the choice. But in real life, the choice is hard. But when you're following God's design, when you have a choice of joy or not having joy, the Bible says always be joyful. I have a friend that I've been kind of following him on Facebook this week because he's dealing with kidney stones. I've dealt with kidney stones in my life as well, and they're very painful, not something that are fun at all. And so he's dealing with these, and he posted one day this verse, and it said, always be joyful. Yeah, that's not coming real easy right now for me, he said. Because he's dealing with something in our lives. But the Bible says when we're being persecuted, when we're facing tough times, always be joyful. When it comes to whether you have anger or happiness, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with your anger, the Bible says. When it comes to loving others or hate, the Bible says love one another. The Bible says to love your enemies. When it comes to punishment or enjoyment, the Bible, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. If you want to experience joy, if you want to experience enjoyment, Jesus says, just follow me. Just do what I tell you to do, and you'll experience this joy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullest. The Bible also says when it comes to do I want to experience laughter or do I want to experience tears, the Bible says in Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So it's not always giddy. You're not always giddy about things. But you're helping others experience and walk through life. If it comes to being kind or not being kind, the Bible says be kind, Ephesians chapter 4. When it comes to being stressed or not stressed, this is an easy verse to quote, but it's a hard verse to live out. Cast all your anxieties on Him. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. They'll make your life good. They'll make your life enjoyable when you follow God's word. Not always easy, but good. When you follow God, some of these choices become clear. Because it's God's word who directs us. Joshua tells us we need to make a choice. The choice needs to be clear. And then Joshua tells the people this, verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord, for He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. Joshua is saying here, the greatest decision I can make requires that I should not make it lightly. The people say, of course we're going to serve God. Remember what God's done for us? And Joshua says, no. No. To put those verses shortly, no, you're not going to do it. I've been with you. I've been here the whole 40 years. Joshua's the one of the ones that actually was still there 40 years later. The rest of them had all died off. Joshua says, no, I've been there. I've seen what you guys have done. We just come out of Egypt, and all of a sudden you were serving other gods, making images of them. He said, no, you're not going to do it. You're not going to make it. So the decision shouldn't be made lightly, he says. Sometimes the decision seems easy, but it's not. Should I pick on the kid at school with everybody else? Should I pick on the person at work with everybody else? The choices we make affect our lives. And the choice I'm talking about this morning affects our life for the rest of our time here on earth and our future, our eternity. Choices we make that affects our lives. Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to hang around with? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go to school? All of these choices affect your life. Joshua is saying, you need to not make the decision lightly. This is a decision that is going to affect the rest of your lives. This is a decision that's going to affect how you act. There's a story of a farmer who hired a man to do some work, and the first thing he told the man to do was to paint a barn. And he said, you know, this is going to take you about probably 3 days to paint this barn, and the man just starts painting and starts working, and a day later he comes back to the farmer and he says, I got the barn painted for you, what's next? And the farmer's blown away because it was supposed to take 3 days to get this work done. The second thing the farmer said, well, I need you to go out and cut some wood for me, and cut it and split it and get it all ready, and this could maybe take you a week to get all of this done, the amount of wood that I'm going to need. And the farmer says, okay, I'll do it. And so a couple days later he comes back to the farmer and says, got all the wood cut for you. And the farmer says, really? And he checks, and the barn's painted, and the wood's done. And he goes, okay, well, this next task will be easy for you. I've got some potatoes, and they need to be sorted out. I need potatoes that can be planted and used again. There are potatoes that should probably just go to the hogs. And then there are potatoes that are actually good enough to sell. And so we need to sort them into these three piles. And he said, this shouldn't take you longer than a day to do this. The farmer comes back at the end of the day, and the man has barely done anything. And the farmer says, what's wrong? And this was not supposed to take time at all. And he said, the man said, I'm a hard worker, but I just can't make a choice. I'm a hard worker, but I just can't choose. You told me to paint the barn. You told me what color, so I did it. You told me to cut the wood, and I did that. I knew how to do that, but I couldn't make a choice otherwise. We need to be able to make good choices. We need to be able to make right choices. We need to be able to make difficult choices sometimes. And the greatest decision we need to make in life is one that affects everything, because it involves putting our future in God's hands, putting our hopes in God's hands, putting our dreams in God's hands, putting our desires in God's hands. Are you willing to make that kind of commitment? To put your life in God's hands? Let's finish up verse 21, Joshua chapter 24, verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, and so they're responding. Joshua says, no, you're not going to be able to do that. The people respond. They say, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rulers for them and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. There shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. The greatest decision that we need to make in our life requires that God is our priority. That God is my priority. We need to make a choice. We need to see things clearly. We can't make that choice lightly. But God has to be the focus. God has to be the choice. Choices always mean you're giving up something. If you're making a choice for one thing, you're not going to have the other as well. If you make a choice for vanilla, that means you're not having chocolate or any of the other 79 million flavors that are out there. If you make a choice for God, that means that you're putting off everything else. You're making God your priority. And I'm not saying one of your priorities, because we say God is my number one priority, and then I have a number two priority that sometimes becomes a number one priority, and sometimes I have a number three priority that sometimes becomes a number one priority. No, God is your priority. That is it. It doesn't mean you can't have other things that you do. It means that all of your life is going to flow through that one priority, and how you make decisions and how you act, what you do. Luke chapter 10. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. When it comes to priorities, Jesus came to a village and he came into a home of Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, verses 38. Jesus came into a home of two ladies, two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the Bible says this, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. I can picture this. Jesus comes in, and there's this lady that's just sitting there with Jesus. But the problem was, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Remember how I said serving can be a good thing, but you have to have your priorities in order? But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Here's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Here's Martha getting everything ready because Jesus is there. She's having to bake the bread. She's having to get the stuff ready. She's trying to clean the house. She's doing all this stuff because Jesus is there and she's wanting it to be nice for him. And Mary's just sitting there. So she comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And then Jesus says this to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Cast all your anxieties, that verse. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. We have a choice to make. Sometimes that choice involves, are we going to sit at Jesus' feet, or are we going to just do a bunch of stuff? Are we going to focus on God, or are we going to get distracted by everything else. The verse says, in verse 40 it says, but Martha was distracted. She was distracted with a lot of other things. She was distracted with everything else that needed to happen. But she was missing the one reason that she had to celebrate. The one reason she was doing all this stuff she wasn't paying any attention to. She was doing all this stuff for him, but she wasn't actually making him her priority. Sometimes as Christians, we get lost in that too. We do a lot of stuff for God, but we forget about trying to find out more about him. We forget about learning more about him. We miss our priority. We miss our focus. Joshua's challenging the people in Joshua chapter 24. He says, you either need to serve the idols of your forefathers that they served in Egypt. You need to serve the idols around you, or you need to serve the one true God. They say, we're going to serve God. He says, no, you're not. They say, no, we are going to serve God. We're going to make God our priority. Now, when you read through the rest of Scripture, you understand they didn't always do that. But the Bible does say that as long as Joshua was alive, they followed God. And even as long as those who were leaders with Joshua were alive, they followed God. They made God their priority. They followed who God was. They had their focus on who they were going to worship. The Bible in John chapter 14, Jesus is answering the question of how we make this decision, this greatest decision in life, and how we can worship the one true God. And Jesus said, there's only one way. There's only one way to worship the one true God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the one way to make the greatest decision. I am the one way to have the truth. I am the one way to have the life. Choosing Jesus, choosing that one way to God means that you're not going to choose all of the other things. It means you're going to make God your priority. Have you made the decision to make God your only priority? That comes if you're not a Christian. Have you made the choice to follow God? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth, that if you make this action of believing in who God is, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You will make the greatest decision you could ever make in your life, to follow after God, to put all the rest of the stuff behind you, to follow after him. That's my first challenge. The second challenge is if you're a Christian, have you made the decision to make God your priority, or do sometimes you get distracted? I think we all get distracted. Sometimes we're like the little dog sitting there and we're like, bird. We get distracted. We lose our focus. We lose our priority. Ooh, shiny things. We do that. We lose our focus on the one thing. Sometimes we're just busy with busyness rather than keeping our priority on God. Have you made the decision to make God your only priority? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Joshua's example. We thank you for Joshua's challenge today. God, we just pray that you would help us to make you our priority. God, help us to follow after you. Help us to not be distracted by the tasks of this life. God, we're going to have tasks and we're going to do them, but help us to stay focused on you while we do those tasks. God, I pray that we would make you our focus in life. Make you our priority. God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.